Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. I'm excited about having Cleta Mitchell back on the show, ladies and gentlemen, because almost 5,000 interviews ago and 6 years ago at this very moment, she was our first guest. Cleta Mitchell was our very first guest on the show. What a brave person she was. Cleta is an attorney. She's a partner in the Washington, D.C. law firm of Foley & Lardner. She, I won't say how far back that was. She was one of 10 outstanding young women in America. And many of you have seen her on television. She's been on all the networks talking about a lot of different issues, especially politics. She's our good friend. Cleta Mitchell, welcome back to the show.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. It's good to have you back.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, thank you for being here on this important day. And again, I want to thank you for helping me get this whole thing kicked off about 6 years ago.
You did a great job.
Well, I appreciate it. You were very brave in those days. You probably didn't know how brave you were, did you?
Well, I've done a fair amount of radio in my life, so it didn't frighten me.
Well, you helped me along because I think you held my hand through that first interview. But I really appreciate you, and I appreciate the commitment that you've made not only to small business, which I know you've done because you used to work for the NFIB and you've worked with them closely on a number of things over the years. I know you have a very strong feeling for small business, but also the part that you played in the political process. And that's an area of the law that you really are involved in right now, isn't it?
Well, my specialty area is really the business and regulation of politics. I work on, we call it political law, but it's everything from the campaign finance laws to election law, which everybody got to learn a lot about during the post-Florida presidential recounting in 2000, and so that's my area of law, essentially.
Let's talk about the election law issue that you were just mentioning, the Florida issue. We've just gone through it with the California. We sort of went through it in New Jersey, didn't we, with that whole thing. We went through it a little bit in Minnesota. Has all of this coming to light, all this sort of controversy over the last 3 or 4 years, is there any particular reason why we've had so much of this recently?
Well, one of the reasons that I went to law school was because as a young activist, political activist working in campaigns and all, I'd never been in a campaign that where you didn't ultimately need a lawyer, and I got really frustrated because oftentimes you'd have lawyers who just didn't understand politics and the political implications. So that's really why I went to law school many years ago. So this is an area of law that has always been there. I think what happened in Florida in 2000 focused the spotlight on a rather arcane area of law that's always been there, always been important, and I think will be increasingly important. That's why I'm fairly partisan, so you'll just have to excuse me, but I think the Democrats are going to invoke all of these this area of law from now on, and we're going to have to be prepared to keep people from trying to steal the election after the votes are cast.
Yeah, I should have reminded folks that Cleta is of the Republican persuasion, and Cleta, so do you think? But now the things, for example, the things that happen. Look at California. I mean, look at the controversy that's out there, and the Democrats didn't create that issue.
Which issue are you talking
about?
Well,
I'm talking about the recall, yeah.
Well, the process, that's one of the things that I kept saying, is the Democrats were saying it's terrible to have this recall effort, and I kept saying, well, you know, change the law. The law provides this process, and if you follow the provisions of the law and follow the steps, then you're entitled to invoke the provisions of law. And it happened that the people who did that were Republicans. But I think that the public voting public in California pretty well put to rest any notion that it was not a legitimate exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that area of law is indeed what I do.
Right. Well, what about, there are about 17 other states, if I'm not mistaken, or maybe 17 total, that have a recall provision. Are we going to be seeing more of these kinds of things that we saw in California?
Do I think that there'll be more of those?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's hard to tell. I mean, the fact of the matter is it does require some significant funding for one of those procedures to work. And,
well, there's got to be an unhappy, a pretty unhappy populace for that to happen too. Hold on to that thought, Cleta. I want you to reflect on that. And when we come back right after these messages, it's 20 till. We'll be right back with our good friend Cleta Mitchell. Stay with us, please.
People call, say beware, doll. You're bound to fall. You thought they were all kidding you.
We're back at 17 till. Let me remind you, coming up in the hour straight ahead, we've got Joanna Brandy, who's going to talk to us about customer service, customer care. And then Judy Smosky is with IBM. She's going to talk to us about the digital age. And then coming up in our show straight ahead, Elise Benin, Karen Kerrigan, and also Steve Forbes will be with us tomorrow, as well as Cherie Carter-Scott. Those are some of the folks who are going to be with us during our 6th anniversary week. Cleta Mitchell is our guest, and Cleta is with Foley & Lardner, a law firm out of Washington, D.C., and she practices political law. And, you know, Cleta, you were just talking, you said something a minute ago about you'd never been in, you either had never been, or maybe you said you never have been in a campaign, involved in a campaign, that didn't require attorneys to get involved. Is that a good thing? I mean, I know it's good for your business, but, I mean, what does that say about our political process?
Well, I think that it says that, I mean, remember that these elections are governed by law, mm-hmm. and there are always disagreements. And, you know, when people, I guess I would say that in the final analysis, it's better to have legal proceedings and go to court with lawyers than it is to have people standing out in the middle of the road at high noon shooting each other.
Yeah, I guess you're
so,
right.
So, you know, I mean, a rule of law is what we're trying to establish in Iraq. Mm-hmm. Instead of people blowing each other up. So mm-hmm. I guess you tell me, is it a good thing or a bad thing? Actually think, you know, these are legal procedures. The elections are governed by rules and regulations and cases. And, you know, when people think that they have a remedy, it's better, I suppose, that they use the legal procedures rather than some of the things that govern when you don't have the rules.
Well, there's no question about that. I agree with you. I guess for most of us who are naive romantics, you know, we imagine, you know, people cast their votes, we count them up, and somebody wins, and we say, okay, you got it.
Yeah, it's just not that simple.
It just doesn't work that way, does it?
And I just don't think that nobody focused on that prior to 2000.
You're right. I mean, I think you're right. It's. I think we were living in a romantic age of elections, weren't we, up to that point?
Well, I guess most people, but not those of us.
No, I know you weren't, because you've been making your living that way. But, I mean, you were living where the rubber meets the road, and the rest of us, we cast our votes and we read the paper. Who won? Okay, he won. All right, let's move on. You know, when's my bowling league meeting? You know?
Right.
That's what the rest of us were saying.
Lucky if anybody actually went to vote.
Right, exactly. Let's talk for a minute about campaign finance reform. That's something I know you've been involved in quite a bit over the last few years. And first, I think it's important for you to state your position on the relative merits of campaign finance reform.
Well, I think campaign finance reform is a misnomer to start with. And I think that what you have is a group of people led by the New York Times and the Washington Post editorial boards and liberal journalists across the country who want to limit the amount of speech that other people are able to engage in. They have unlimited free speech, and they want other people to have restrictions on their political speech and activity. And so the media portrays this as a really wonderful, positive, good thing, but of course understand that the media are exempt from all these rules and regulations that Congress has now passed to impose on everybody else. The media is specifically exempt. So it's easy for them to be for all of those exemptions, all of the restrictions on everybody else because they're exempt. Essentially what the new law says is that it limits, severely restricts what political parties can do, normal political activity by state and local political parties now has been federalized. The speech of ordinary citizens who want to band together with others with whom they agree on particular issues, whether it's abortion or gun rights or whatever it is, now those organizations, citizens' organizations, are severely restricted in what they can say and do in terms of telling the electorate this person voted for or against such and such piece of legislation. And members of Congress, incumbents, really hate the idea that somebody's going to tell people something about them or their records that they don't want told. That's
well,
really
see,
what
that's,
boils
that's
down
a part
to.
Of the, that's a part of the law that I think most of us don't know about. I think we sort of, those of us who know anything about it, have sort of keep up with the fact that, that there are limits on giving, on who can give what and when, and how much money can be spent within a certain period of time of the, was it 60 days prior to the election by certain interest groups. But I don't think we knew that information had to be withheld.
Well, information has to, if you want to mention a federal candidate within 30 days of a primary or 60 days of an election, if you're the NRA, which happens to be my client,
mm-hmm.
The organization cannot spend its members' dues money to talk about somebody's voting record if they mention the candidate's name or depict mm-hmm. his or her likeness. And I think that that is just anathema to the First Amendment, but that's what the
right.
law says.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, but there were other issues that, with regard to who could contribute and with regard to hard money and soft money. Can you explain that for us a little bit?
Well, the reformers, I call the evildoers in my view, but they have, I believe, completely misled the public by saying that money to the political parties that they call soft money is quote-unquote unregulated. It's not unregulated. It's money that's given to political parties, or was, it's now been banned,
mm-hmm.
for political parties to engage in what are known as party-building activities, voter registration, get out the vote, voter ID, all of those things. And now then, none of that money can be given to the parties for use in those particular arenas. Now every dollar that's given to the national political parties has to be regulated by and subject to the limits according to the FEC.
Cleta, stand by just a minute. We're going to take a quick break first. When we come back, I'm going to ask Cleta how things are going for small business with regard to the campaign finance reform, how it's affecting small business and other issues. Stand by. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Cleta Mitchell is our guest. She's with Foley & Lardner. It's a law firm out of Washington, D.C. Cleta, give us your firm's website, please.
Well, it's just www.foleylardner, F-O-L-E-Y-L-A-R-D-N-E-R, foleylardner.com.
All right. And so, folks, if you would like to check them out and see what kind of... I'm sure you've got information on the different types of law that you guys practice. And
all right.
And especially if you'd like to know more about Cleta, and if you're running a political campaign, you need an attorney. She's a good one. Cleta, how has campaign finance reform impacted small business public policy?
Well, I think the way that it impacts small business is simply that most people who are in small business, in my experience, are pretty swamped trying to just run their businesses. They don't
right.
have time to spend doing a lot of political activity themselves, so they if they want to be participants, they join other organizations. They join NFIB, they join the Small Business Survival Committee, or
mm-hmm.
they join the Chamber of Commerce, or whatever. And what this law does severely restricts the ability of their association, or say that they have they're a florist and they're a member of the Florist Association. This law severely restricts what these organizations can do using their members' dues on their behalf. That's really where it has an impact.
Let's take an example. Let's say that there's a candidate for federal office, a senator, a congressman, a woman, or something like that, that those two examples, let's say, that this person has just been the enemy. And there are some out there who are enemies of small business. They've done things, they've said things that hurt small business. They voted for things that hurt small business. They've gone out of their way to harm small businesses. And how are we restricted from getting that word out?
Well, you can't not be able, as an association, say NFIB, could not run a radio or television advertisement that mentions that person's name within 30 or 60 days of a primary. 30 days of primary, 60 days of a general election.
Hmm.
So it's just illegal for NFIB or any other association like that to run an advertisement on radio or television. Now, there are some other things that might be done, but, I mean, that's when you have to get a lawyer like me to say, okay, well, if you do this way, you do this, and you do it this way, and you don't do this, and you don't do that, then you might be able to communicate that message. So,
which basically requires more funding. I mean, you've got to be well-funded if you're going to do what you're talking about.
Well, of course. So it really runs normal everyday people out of the process, which is one of the things. I don't think you ought to have a lawyer to be engaged in the political process. I think our founding fathers would find that to be quite remarkable.
Yeah. What about some of the things that people are doing today to get around the new campaign finance reform? I've been reading about some of that.
Well, on the Democratic side and on the left, what you have, or I've been watching this unfold for the last several months, where you have the Democrats and liberal organizations putting together these separate groups so that they can still raise and spend the amount of money that the political parties can no longer raise and spend. And it's not happening on the Republican side, but it is happening on the Democratic side, which actually is just exactly what I predicted was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe all those press clippings that say that this has really been a boon and beneficial to the Republicans. That's really not true. The Democrats will continue to raise and spend hundreds of millions of dollars, just like this announcement last week of George. It's not really an announcement. I've been watching this for months. George Soros and all the money. He's pledged $15 million or spend whatever it takes to defeat George Bush. Well, that was supposed to be rendered illegal by this new law. And
why isn't it?
Well, I believe that it is. But the problem is that the Democrats and the liberals can count on the fact that the Republicans will sit idly by and will not go after them the way the Democrats go after Republicans when they see something that might be effective on the Republican side.
Mm-hmm.
Just a difference in culture.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and you notice that the New York Times and the Washington Post have yet to raise a single objection or editorial against George Soros. And what
I read about it in the Wall Street Journal, and the Soros and Icky story. Cleta Mitchell, thank you for your time today. Thank you for your steadfast support of small business owners over the years, and for all that you do for this country. We thank you for that, and especially for being a good supporter of what we do here on the show.
Well, good luck to you, Jim. It's always nice to talk to you.
Thanks. Cleta Mitchell, ladies and gentlemen, with Foley & Lardner. That's FoleyLardner.com. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and thank you for 6 years on the air. Thank you for allowing me to serve you, to be here, and to be your advocate. But we got one more hour to come today. Don't go away. I'll be right back after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.